Chapter 18. Night Swimming. We find Lana sitting on the sand, staring sadly into the sunset. "You need to go talk to the sea witch," I tell her. Lana needs to convince the witch to reverse the spell. She points to her mouth and then her chest. "You can't breathe underwater," I say. She nods. "Any way we can get the sea witch to come ashore?" I ask. Lana shakes her head and shimmies her hand so it looks like a tail. "She doesn't have legs," I confirm. "But she's a witch. She can do whatever she wants."
"She probably doesn't want to come on land," Jonah says.
He can be annoyingly logical. "Arr! We have to fix this. We're running out of time."
"Maybe Princess Allison won't really marry Prince Mortimer," Jonah says. "Maybe she'll pull a Lana and bolt at the last minute."
Just then, we hear loud clapping inside the palace and choruses of, "Congratulations!" "There goes that idea," I mumble.
"Oh! Oh!" Jonah shrieks. "What about that potion Carolyn talked about? Remember? The one that her great-great-grandmother used to go underwater? The spit potion?"
I shake my head. "Do you think that even works?"
"Well, she should try it. What other choice do we have?"
He has a point. We find Carolyn in the kitchen slicing lemons. "Remember that potion you said your great-great-grandmother used to go underwater?" I ask.
"How could I forget?" she says with a laugh.
"Do you know how to make it?"
"Do I remember the ingredients? Of course I do. Mermaid spit, a tablespoon of sea salt, 3 fish eggs, a tablespoon of water, a teaspoon of club soda, and a pinch of algae. I've always wanted to make it, but finding the mermaid spit has been difficult."
"We have the spit," I say. "We need some potion so Lana can go underwater."
"Of course," she says, putting down her knife. "Anything for my favorite mermaid."
She gathers all the stuff from the kitchen, mixes it up in a glass, and then runs with us outside and hands the glass to Lana. Lana spits inside, then takes a sip. Then she turns and hurries into the ocean, diving underwater. 2 seconds later, she pops up, gasping and shaking her head.
"I guess it doesn't work," I say. "Maybe now that Lana has legs, her spit isn't mermaidy anymore," Carolyn says.
Lana leans over and carves into the sand, "I don't have a tail, but I will always be a mermaid."
"In that case," Jonah says, "maybe a mermaid can't use her own spit. Or maybe the spell only works on humans."
"Lana's a human," I say. Carolyn shakes her head.
"She's a mermaid. She just said so herself."
Jonah tugs on my hand.
"You know what that means, right? It might work on us."
"Huh? Us?"
"Us," he repeats. "We're human."
"I am, yes. I'm not always so sure about you."
"Seriously, Abby, we'll try the potion."
"I doubt it will work," I say, my heart hammering.
"I bet it will," he says. "We'll get to breathe underwater. It'll be fun."
"Sharks, waves, salt in our mouths. That doesn't sound like fun. And it's going to be dark soon. How will we see anything?"
"I can't do it. I just can't."
"Don't you have a light on your watch?" he asks.
"Yeah." "As if one probably waterproof watch light is enough for me to go up against the entire ocean."
"Let's just try. It's our only chance."
"Aren't there any other options?" I ask, my voice squeaky. "There must be. Maybe Carolyn wants to try it."
Carolyn shakes her head.
"Me? Are you crazy? I eat shark. I don't let them eat me."
"You eat shark?"
Jonah asks, eyes wide. She nods.
"I'll make it for you. It's delicious."
"No thanks," we say in unison.
Jonah looks at me.
"I think it's up to us then. Let's do it."
Goosebumps cover my whole body. He wants me to go underwater.
No life jacket, No air. I can't. I have to. Slowly, I nod. Lana hands Jonah the cup.
Cheers!
Jonah cries and takes a big sip.
It tastes like sushi!
I roll my eyes. Have you ever even had sushi?
No, but I bet this is what it tastes like.
It could use some ketchup. When Jonah's done, he hands me the cup and scurries toward the water, diving right in.
Wait, Jonah!
I yell, but it's too late. He's under. He pops up.
It works! It really works!
Great. Just, great. My hands shake. Before I sip, I ask, but how will we ever find the sea witch?
Lana can make us a map, Jonah calls.
Carolyn takes a pen and paper out of her apron and hands it to Lana.
Here you go.
Lana starts to sketch. When she's done, she writes, 2 hours on top.
It'll take us 2 hours to get there?
I ask. Lana nods. That's a long time for us to be swimming. 2 hours to the sea witch's place, 2 hours back, plus how long to convince the witch to help us? At least we have 12 hours to work with.
Bottoms up, Carolyn says.
I nod, and then I swallow a gulp of the potion. I almost gag, but I keep swallowing because I have to. P.S. My brother's not wrong. A little ketchup would go a long way. I hand Lana the glass and then carefully wade into the water. The dark water. This can't be a good idea. I barely swim well during the day. How am I going to swim well at night?
Just dunk, Jonah orders me.
I bristle at being bossed around by my baby brother, but I know he's right. Getting into the water is like taking off a band-aid. It always hurts less to just rip it off. I'm in up to my waist. I should go under now.
Okay, now. Time is ticking, Jonah calls. I'm going under again.
Jonah, hold on, I yell, but then he disappears under the surf. At first, I see bubbles rise to the surface, but then they stop. I don't like bubbles that stop. My heart feels like it might pound out of my chest. Now I have no choice. I grip the map in my hand, hold my nose with the other, seal my eyes shut, and go under.
Cold, cold, cold!
I carefully open my left eye. At first it's blurry, but then it clears up. This is a hopeful sign. It doesn't sting or anything. I open the right eye. Around me, I see blue. Lots and lots of navy blue. I'm glad the sun isn't completely gone yet.
Hey, Jonah says, swimming over to me. How cool is this? We can talk.
I am afraid to open my mouth in case I swallow a gallon of water and drown, but I do it. I open my lips in a little circle and take a tiny breath in. I do not choke.
It works, I say, amazed. I have no idea how it works, but it is working.
I am breathing and talking underwater. No scuba equipment necessary. I thought I would sink to the bottom, but I'm not. I'm just floating. It's like I'm in one of those gravity-less spaceships, and I can go up or down or anywhere I want. We swim farther into the deep. There are brightly colored fish swimming in all directions. A family of turtles meanders by us, and coral is everywhere. It looks like pipe cleaners gently blowing in the wind. Yellow, red, orange, blue, green. The water doesn't even feel cold anymore, just like a really nice bath. Jonah is having the time of his life. He's laughing, somersaulting, he's even yodeling. Does he really have to let every sea creature know we're here? Can you try to be quiet? I ask him as a neon fish that's shaped like a trumpet smashes its nose against my knee. It does not seem to like me.
Why? This is awesome!
Jonah, this is serious business. You've been acting like a 2-year-old since we got here.
You've been acting like a 40-year-old,
he snaps back.
This is supposed to be fun. No, it isn't. I yell back as the trumpet fish goes after my big toe. We're helping Lana. Why can't helping Lana be fun? Because you're impossible, I say and turn my back on him. Let's go to the Sea Witch and get this over with. We have to stay on schedule. We have to see the Sea Witch. But first, we have to find the Sea Witch. I pull the map up to my eyes. Unfortunately, the map has disintegrated in the water. Crumbs! I yell. Jonah turns back to me. What's wrong? Unlike us, the map was not waterproof. He bites his lower lip. I think I remember the way. Follow me. You think or you know? He shrugs. I think. Time is ticking, Jonah. Well, he says, swimming forward, then we'd better get kicking. I nervously follow Jonah through seaweed, around coral, and over a cave. I feel bad for snapping at him, but honestly, he doesn't take anything seriously. By now, the water has started to get dark. Really dark. I press the light on my watch to illuminate our path and pray that the batteries don't die. We swim for what feels like at least another hour. I could really use a snack. That sushi potion was just not enough. I wish I'd had time to pack a picnic lunch from the wedding buffet. I'm going to miss that lemon meringue pie. At the end of the cave, Jonah turns left and points. That's it, he says. I shine my light up ahead. I have no doubt that he's right. If someone asked me to design a sea witch's house, this is what I'd create. The walls are gray stone and covered in black sea sludge. The path to the doorway is surrounded by barracudas and floating fish skeletons. There's a low, moaning sound all around us. Jonah slows down and takes my hand.
Maybe we should find a doorbell or something. The sea witch might not be the type of person who likes to be surprised.
I see a big knocker in the shape of a human skull. With a trembling hand, I bang the knocker against the door. Slowly, the door creeps open.
Come in,
we hear. The voice is definitely female, but low and raspy. We swim through the entranceway, terrified. There she sits in the middle of the room. Well, not sits, lies sideways on a black couch. She is not what I expected at all. She's beautiful. She's a mermaid, just like Lana, but her tail is dark purple instead of green and orange. She's younger than I expected, too. She looks about my mom's age. She has black, waist-length hair. Beside the couch is a large gray pot. No, it's not a pot. It's a cauldron. It's made of stone and bubbles are steaming out of it. It looks like a hot tub, but a really, really scary one. I do not want to go anywhere near that cauldron if I can help it. I take a step back.
Who are you?
The sea witch drawls. Her voice is smoky. It makes me want to move closer, but I resist. I'm Abby, I stutter, and this is my brother Jonah.
Hello, she says. I'm Nellie.
I nod. We're here on behalf of Lana. I pause. I'm her lawyer. The sea witch cackles.
A lawyer? Lana has a lawyer?
I nod. And I'm here to negotiate a deal.
How are you even down here? Did you take the underwater potion?
We nod. Nellie laughs again.
Well, you'd better start negotiating before your time runs out.
Right. I nervously clear my throat. It's been about 2 hours, which means we have 10 hours left. We can convince her to help us in 10 hours, can't we? We would like you to reverse the spell you put on Lana, I say, my voice trembling. She raises a perfectly arched eyebrow.
Which one?
I half smile. All of them?
Let's see, Nellie says. There's the spell that changed her tail into legs. There's the spell that took away her voice. Then there's the spell that says that if the prince marries anyone else, she'll die before the next sunrise, which is at 6:05 a.m.
All of them would be good, I say, but the dying one is definitely our priority.
Reversing spells isn't cheap. What will you give me?
I clear my throat. What do you want?
Oops.
This may have been a tiny oversight on my part. I came to negotiate with the Sea Witch, but I didn't bring anything to trade. Never mind being a failed maid of honor. I'm a failed lawyer, too.
Nellie eyes Jonah. The boy.
Jonah scoots into my side. No. Even though we're kind of in a fight, she still can't have my brother. Is there anything else you want? She looks me over.
What is that on your wrist?
I look down. You want my watch? I can give you my watch. Not that I really want to give away my watch, but of course I'll do it to save Lana's life. I'm not sure how we'll find our way back to the shore without any light, though. I guess I'll worry about that problem later. The Sea Witch nods.
Here's my offer. You give me the watch.
Okay, I say. Maybe this won't be so hard after all.
And in return for the watch, I'll give you a knife. You'll use the knife to stab the prince in the heart. Then I'll undo all the spells. Lana can go back to her life as a mermaid.
Is she kidding me? That's not going to work either. I say, I am not going to kill someone. Sure, the prince is a bit of a jerk, but that doesn't mean I want him dead. And that definitely doesn't mean that I would ever consider killing him. I want to be a lawyer, not need a lawyer. Can't I just give you the watch and you'll reverse the spells? She snorts.
Reverse all the spells for one measly watch? No. One of you stabs the prince or nothing. You know what? I don't even want a watch. The girl and I had a deal. She's the one who wasn't satisfied with her life, even though she had everything. She had family who loved her. She was a princess. She was beautiful. But no, no, no. She wanted to give it all up to be human. She's a jerk, just like her father.
But she wasn't happy, I say. She risked everything for a different life. She's not a jerk. She's brave. And you're a coward. You just hide in your cave and steal from people. You want everyone to be as miserable as you are. Nellie blinks, and then blinks again.
Unless you have something better than a watch to trade, then we're done here.
Now what are we supposed to do? Wait. Why is Lana's dad a jerk? I wonder. She ignores my question and instead says,
I guess we're done. Samuel, my dear Samuel, show these children the door.
My dear Samuel? Don't tell me she has a boyfriend, I say. But no. Just then a shark, an actual shark, swims up to us with a menacing look on its face. I'm not that surprised her only companion is a shark. No person could love someone that mean. We're getting out of here, I say, and pull Jonah straight out of the house. By the time we reach the black water, my heart is beating about 3,000 miles a minute.
That didn't go well, Jonah says.
No, it didn't, I say, leaning against something soft and squishy that I hope won't eat me. I try to catch my breath.
Now what? I can think of one person who might help us, Jonah says.
Who?
The Sea King.
I nod. It's time to find Lana's dad.